Well, we're going to come to our Bible reading, which is Romans chapter 5, 1 to 11. I've entitled my sermon, because it's Remembrance Sunday, it's very simply Remembering Jesus. And everything we do, we always remember him, don't we? But today is a day to remember who Jesus is and what he has done. So Romans chapter 5, 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, or as a congregation sit. Okay? And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, here we have my other title, Jesus the Wall Wrecker in Action. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, tearing down the partition between us and God. You know, as we were spending that 2 minutes in silence, it's nice to have silence sometimes, isn't it? Did anyone hear the wind whistling outside the building? The wind is whistling, and actually coming into the building, it's causing the ceiling to slightly vibrate, which is why the screen is just slightly vibrating. It's the power of the wind. But it was in the silence of the 2 minute silence that I could hear and perceive the Spirit of God blowing over the earth and over his people. Today's title is Remembering Jesus. I like the wall wrecker. Remembering Jesus, the wall wrecker. All humanity, our Bible has just told us, needs a savior. But not all humanity wants saving. Isn't that sad? All of us, every human being, needs a savior, but not everybody wants saving. We heard in our reading in verse 10 that Jesus died for enemies. It's whilst we were enemies, cut off from God, that Christ died for us. And herein lies a truth about all humanity, that everyone is born into a rebellion against God. Not knowing God, not believing in God, because to come to believe in God is a discovery of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We know, I'm sure everyone here is acutely aware, that we all have sinned. Even though we're saved in Christ and are seen by God as saints, we commit sin. And we should all know and agree this by now. All humanity commits sin. And it's the sin that cuts us off from God. Every person needs a savior, but not all humanity wants saving. We sang one of my favorite songs, "In Christ Alone, Our Hope Is Found." And there's that profound verse, "The wrath of God is satisfied in the death of Jesus Christ." And verse 9 tells us that since we've been justified by Christ, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? You know, sometimes I have a righteous, indignant anger at the stuff that goes on in the world. Am I the only one? I see the news, and I see the injustice. I see the terrible things that happen. And there's something that rises in me, which I would call a righteous anger. It is okay to have this righteous anger. It is the righteous anger of some Christians that led to the abolition of slavery. People like Wilberforce, a righteous anger rises up and it calls people to do stuff. Do you know God has a righteous anger? He uses the word, the Bible uses the word wrath, anger, indignation, something that's burning against stuff that is going wrong. And God has a justified, righteous anger that is burning against the world. But God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to die on the cross so that God's wrath is satisfied in Jesus' death. So that when we come to Jesus and we say, "Lord, thank you for what you have done for me on the cross. I understand that your death has given me life. I understand that your death was my punishment. You took the fall for me. You took God's wrath burning against the sin in my life upon yourself, Jesus. Thank you." And Jesus says, "You're okay. You're all right. I forgive you now that you've owned up to it and now that you've sought it and you've asked for forgiveness. All humanity needs a savior, but not everyone will bow the knee to Jesus and receive forgiveness. Not everybody wants saving." Jesus, in verse 8, died for the whole world. God demonstrates his love. It's interesting, isn't it? We're using big words. We're using the word love, and the picture of Christ on the cross is God's love. And then we have the word wrath, God's anger burning, and that's found upon Christ on the cross. Love and wrath together in the death of Christ. These are profound things that we need to grab hold of to know that Christ, when he gave up his life, he did it for the possibility of all humanity being saved. Whilst the world was lost and is lost in sin, Jesus Christ died for every human being. There's no one else who has done it. Our Bible tells us that there are times when people die for a cause. There are times when people die for their friends. But there's not many times when people willingly die for their enemies. But yet the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died for the world who were his enemies. No one else has done this. Jesus died for everyone, even whilst we were in rebellion against him. That's amazing. Let that settle. It's only when I heard that song, "The wrath of God is satisfied in Christ," that in a way this point penetrated my very soul and spirit. And I remember the first time I sang that line and saw those words, it impacted me in a deep way. By God's Spirit to my spirit, I knew something, I learned something, I experienced in my heart what I kind of knew in my head. Sometimes we need what we know in our head to penetrate into our hearts to really move forward with gratitude with God. Jesus Christ, and our Bible has just said it, is the only worldwide way into a relationship with God. Only Jesus can tear down the division that is between God and us. Only Jesus can satisfy God's wrath burning over humanity. And only Jesus can give us forgiveness when we say thank you. And he washes us clean by his blood. And the result of that is that there's reconciliation. The wall is gone. We can go running across this divide into the loving arms of God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus brings reconciliation and the hope of reconciliation to the world. As I've said, God is our God, is a God of truth and holiness and righteousness in his character. It means that there's the other side of the coin. God has to have a righteous wrath and anger burning against the wrongs in the world. He is justified in having that attitude. And yet he hasn't left the world in that state. He sent Jesus to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sins. And as I've said, I get angry. I have a righteous anger that crops up when I see what's going on. We are made in the image of God. We can feel sometimes how God feels about what is happening on the earth. A righteous anger is absolutely the holiness of God. Amen. I don't know if you've ever seen it like this before, but this is deep truths from Scripture. Now, Jesus gives the opportunity of salvation, and that was, I think I read it in verse 9, when he says this, since we have now been justified by the death of Christ, Christ's death and his blood shed, his life poured out, his sacrifice, his laying down of himself, actually brings a justification. It makes us right with God Almighty. And Paul goes on to say, how much more we've been justified by Christ's blood, how much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God that is coming through Jesus Christ our Lord? Now, I don't go out into the world as the salt saying, the wrath of God is upon you and you and you. That would be completely wrong, wouldn't it? If anyone had told me that, I might have said, get on your bike, you're off your trolley. I'm quite a good person, I do good deeds. This is not necessarily the way to actually preach the gospel. We heard over the past couple of days that our very lifestyle, our reaching out, our compassion to humanity, our reaching out and doing something in the name of Jesus, showing the love, the joy, and the peace that God can bring is a great attraction. People need to hear what Jesus has done for them. They need to know that Jesus loves them. And then they can start to understand that Jesus' love actually is expressed fully in his death for them. There's a number of steps that people need to take. But Jesus gives the opportunity of salvation to the whole world. Trusting in Jesus and his sacrifice imputes, gives to, God gives us. We don't deserve it. He puts upon us. He brings it into us by the power of his Holy Spirit. He gives us salvation when we say yes to Jesus. That's an amazing thing. It's not hard to become a Christian. Not really. It's bowing the knee in humility and accepting Christ. All humanity needs a savior, but not all humanity wants to bend the knee and wants saving. And you see, in this passage, there is something said to us as Christians. For those of us who have bowed the knee, for those of us who have received Christ, our faith, our standpoint in the world, our compassion, our righteous anger against what is wrong, when it rises up, and we act upon it, can cause our own suffering for Jesus Christ. In verse 3, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. The kind of sufferings that Paul is thinking of is suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ, is standing on the word of God, is reaching out in love to people who reject the message of Jesus, and therefore they reject you as a person as well. It brings a form of suffering. We are all part of the war between good and evil over humanity. We join with Christ, and therefore we are going to have some suffering because of our faith. But suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, brings a determination. I mean, I don't know about you, but in the moments of my life when I've been suffering for Jesus, there's a different strength that I have. If I have sinned and done something wrong and I'm suffering for my own stupidity, then actually I fall apart. But actually, if there's something coming because I'm a Christian, something in me brings a strength to rise up and to make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope it does for you. That is what I would call a positive view of suffering, a positive view of suffering for one's faith. We need supernatural Holy Spirit strength in those times. And David prayed, and I think Bill mentioned, that there are Christians in the world who don't have our freedom. There are Christians in the world who suffer just for meeting together if they're found out like this. There is a suffering for Jesus Christ that comes upon them, but they carry on meeting. They carry on sharing Jesus, and great and mighty things happen through them. All humanity needs a savior, but not all humanity wants saving, and being a Christian is not the easy way out. In fact, it can be quite hard to live the life of a Christian. Jesus, our founder, he died so that we can live forever. Jesus' actions as the wall wrecker, tearing down the divide, gives us the opportunity to know God as our Heavenly Father. As I've said a number of times today, the picture of God's love, the picture of God's love is Jesus Christ dying on a cross. It's a very strange picture, isn't it? But for those who have stood here, for those who have lost comrades, who gave up their lives for the cause, they will have an even deeper understanding of what Jesus has done in giving his life up for us. It's a strange love, but it's the only love that can produce results to eternal life. We know that war brings sacrifice, and we honor those who died for us in war. Jesus did the same. He died in a war over our souls. SOS, save our souls, save our spirits. Jesus died in a cosmic war between God and Satan over your life, your soul, your spirit, and mine. Jesus has not done anything. Jesus has done everything for us. And Jesus' sacrificial death, that love on the cross, brings the reconciliation that the world so desperately needs. First, in restoring friendly relations with God. That word reconciled means restoring friendly relationships. You know, God loved humanity, and when he had Adam and Eve in the garden, he walked with them in the garden. They had friendly relationship that was for all humanity. But the sin of Adam and Eve, the sin of those people, cut God off, and they were expelled out of the garden. But Jesus has restored the whole heartbeat of God, the whole plan of God from the very beginning. His death has brought friendly relationships with God. In fact, they're so friendly, we can call him Daddy. He is our Heavenly Father. And the second restoration is that Jesus has restored to us eternal life, to be with God as we were designed to be for eternity. Our Savior is a living Savior. His death and his resurrection completes God's plan for humanity, for you and for me. There are many wars in the world, past, sadly present, and when we know our Bibles, there is more big war and trouble to come upon the earth. It is the way, sadly, of humanity. And God has a righteous anger against, and so do I. What can one person do to change the whole world? Well, Jesus has done it. The biggest war is not over land. It's not over human power. It's not for religious ideas or for a culture to sweep across the earth. The biggest war is the war over the human soul. All humanity needs a savior. But so sadly, and desperately sadly, not all humanity wants saving. In remembering Jesus Christ today, I confirm to you what Jesus has done. First, Jesus has won this war. Jesus has paid our price. Jesus has offered us forgiveness and has given us salvation when we said yes, and the result is eternal life with God forever. Jesus died whilst we were still enemies. Whilst I was an enemy of God, Christ still died for me. He made a way, he opened up a way for peace with God. Jesus has done it all, except one thing. Jesus has done it all, except one thing. Jesus will not force the world, he will not force you, he will not force me to believe that he's the only way, that he is who he says he is. He won't force that. That is an issue of our faith. That is an issue for us to work out. Since we've been justified through our faith, through our belief, God will do what he can do to encourage us. He will call us. He will reach down to us. He will show his love. But we have to ignite something in us, a belief and a faith in Jesus Christ. We get justified through our faith. And it's through our faith, by the grace of God, that we come into the presence of God Almighty. All humanity needs a Savior. But so desperately, sadly, not all humanity is interested in the Savior or wants saving. The challenge to you and me in this auditorium, in this church setting today, is what do we want? And having received Jesus Christ, will we ignite something? Will we allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to bring a righteous anger to us that says, I'm not accepting that people don't want a Savior. I'm going to do what I can to show them Jesus. I'm going to do what I can to pray for them in Jesus' name, that something will shift in their lives, that they will open up their hearts, that God will come in, that they will bow the knee. You know, I walk around and I look at loads of people and it can be so overwhelming, can't it? What can we do? Actually, Jesus has done everything. We just point to Jesus. We just tell them about him in whatever way we can. A little leaflet, an invite here, a praying at home, and then taking an opportunity when an opportunity comes. All humanity needs a Savior. Not all humanity wants saving, but Jesus is the war wrecker that has made it possible for everyone to know God as Heavenly Father. I say hallelujah to that, and I say amen to that. And so on today's Remembrance Sunday, we've remembered people, we've remembered humans' actions, but above all, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for the world. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless. Give the Lord a hand. It's good to clap Jesus for what he's done. It really is. And to receive that into his heart. Let's just pray, and I'm going to invite Father in heaven, rise up in us an understanding of the heart of God that beats for a lost world. Father, rise up in us your spirit. Lord, that we would have a righteous anger against people who sadly are going the wrong way. Help us to love them as Christ loved them. Help us to reach out to them as Christ reaches out. Help us to share Jesus in this locality with our family and our friends and all whom we come into contact with. The world needs to know. The world needs to know that Jesus Christ loves them, and he's opened up the way of reconciliation to eternal life. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.